Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. My hope is to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. It's assessment season, a time that as an educator, you probably have some pretty mixed feelings about. Maybe you love the data and seeing what your students have learned, but there's also the stress, the paperwork, and everything else that comes with it. Sound a little familiar? Well, today we're here to break it all down. We're going to share some do's and don'ts for navigating this assessment season, some practical tips, some lighthearted advice, and most importantly, a reminder that you're not alone. We all experience this. And so whether you're a seasoned pro or just trying to survive another round, this episode is all about helping you get through it with your sanity intact. And today, I'm excited to have Cass McKay, a member of a Branching Minds team here, and former testing coordinator as well, to give us her take on surviving assessment season. So welcome to the podcast, Cass.
Thanks, Larissa. Excited to be here.
Well, we're going to kind of kick things off with a little bit of a laugh. I would love to hear the funniest or most unexpected thing to ever happen to you during testing season.
There are a few things, but this one jumped out to me the most. So testing coordinators, you all probably know, are basically like the silent police. We want everything neutral, calm, and perfectly still so our kids can focus. But one year, the plumbing gods had other plans in our building. So in the middle of a testing, we had a pipe emergency. It required immediate attention. So while my proctors are tiptoeing around in soft-soled shoes, communicating with post-it notes, there was, no joke, literal jackhammering going on inside the building. So it was the least standardized environment in history.
That's absolutely hilarious. And I can just imagine, too, you're feeling the anxiety of like, when will they stop?
Every second was the longest second.
It's like the longest minute of jackhammering. Oh my gosh. Well, so when I was thinking about this question, it's a funny story that didn't actually happen to me, but still makes me laugh hysterically. And so I was an English teacher in middle school. And one year before the one-to-one iPads and MacBooks, we had computer labs. So we had to take the kids to test, right? And so we have these kids in this computer lab, and we had a student teacher that year, and he was helping his cooperating teacher the test. Well, one of the students stands up looking a little green and throws up like over the set of computers onto this student teacher. As he told the story later, I could feel this visceral reaction of like the most disruptive thing to happen in the middle of a testing. And he didn't say anything to anybody. He just like looked at his cooperating teacher and just like walked out and drove home to change. No permission, nothing. Just left to go change out of like vomit covered clothes. And this poor student too. And so I just still think about that story all the time.
Just mildly disruptive.
Mildly disruptive. Well, you and I both have been testing coordinators, and I'm sure, so we probably have a lot of war stories here, but I would love to talk a little bit about some top three things in your opinion about what are the do's of assessment season? What are things that you think that testing coordinators should probably do to ensure a smooth sailing?
Yeah. I've got a few of them here. I think my first one would be just to have a B team on deck. Like if something could go wrong, it probably will go wrong. And everybody prepares for plan A, but the pros plan for plan oh no. So assume that your hall monitor is going to call in sick the day of testing. Assume there's going to be a family emergency and one of your proctors is going to have to leave. So just like kind of plan around that plan A, have a plan B, plan C. Have high visibility reminders. It's a big day for staff and for students. We want to make sure they got a good night's sleep, get to school on time, had breakfast. So as high visibility as you can be with those, the better. One year I made personalized stickers with each student's testing schedule and put them on their hands as they left the building so that they would absolutely not forget they had a test the next week. And then the last one is kind of like the bane of my existence, but also so helpful during testing, is walkies with earpieces. So being able to be stealthy while still getting important information, like I might have just popped into a testing room, and if my walkie goes off and everyone can hear it, that is going to be extremely...
My gosh, I didn't even think about how that would have been very...
You've got to be in a million places at once. I think you have to be in touch with what's happening in the building. Those earpieces are super annoying, especially for a full day, but insanely helpful.
Yeah, I usually just walked around with my cell phone and everyone had my phone number or my email was on my cell phone. And so like I would just email me really quick and I can come and... yeah, I love that you talked about having a B team on deck. Not only that, but having a technology person that you call personally in the building. If you don't have an in-building tech person, I had the personal phone number of our technology a leader in the district. And if there was something wrong, I would call. I mean, I prepared them and I said, we're testing next week. So just... be prepared that you may get a call from me.
Yeah. So maybe another one is like, be really nice to your in-building tech person leading up to testing.
Yes. That's a secret. I think Trudy Bender lives by that too, because that's how she, with some different technology she had in her district, she's like, I made my tech team brownies.
Yeah. Do it.
Never hurts. I would say that's another do of mine, is to provide a little sweet treat for all of your proctors, like all the people who they have to be paying attention all day long and they don't really get a break, or they have to call someone to get a bathroom break. And so I always made cookies and like I had treats when they could get when they picked up their testing packet or whatever from my office. And so that was always something I did to treat them for those really stressful long, boring days of testing.
It's fuel too, right? Sugar, a little sugar fuel never hurt anyone.
Yes, exactly. Okay. What do you feel like is the biggest thing a testing coordinator can do to make a big difference?
I think one of the things when I first came into this role that I'd been on the other side of it, right? I'd been like proctoring tests, I'd been hall monitors before. And when I started in a testing coordinating role, I thought of my staff as like my customer. So whatever I could do to keep them calm, keep them fueled, make sure they were resourced for what they needed to do, I knew it would be better for students. There was a couple of things I implemented right away. We had like a visual flagging system so they could just change the flag on their window from red to green if they needed something. They didn't have to open their door. It didn't have to be distracting. They could just say they needed something, they needed a break, or they needed supplies. And then kind of a pit crew mentality. So we had floating staff during testing season that could just relieve people for breaks, for lunch. They just needed to step away to make a quick phone call. There was always people that weren't tied to a certain room that could jump in. I think that really, really helped, just making sure that people had what they needed and like in a timely manner.
Yeah. I always think that makes a big difference, being able to quickly problem solve. Right. Because one of the things that I thought would make or break a day is that if there were students that sat there for a long time waiting for a problem to be solved, or a technical issue, or they couldn't log in, or they needed something. And if they were sitting there for a long time and the teacher was called, can't leave, you know. And so if you were able to solve those problems quickly, and I think having floating staff, even I always felt like I usually picked one of the administrators helped me, and they were sort of my other go-to person. And so they were floating as I was floating. And really the team of administrators sort of took that on as well. So even if I was the point person, they were also able to get messages to me quicker or whatever it was. And so, okay, so let's talk about the don'ts. Let's talk about the things that, so my question is, what's a don't that might surprise people and something that maybe seems like a good idea, but actually isn't?
Yeah, this one might seem counterintuitive, but I think that's the spirit of the question here, is I would say don't fall into the trap of having too rigid of a schedule when it comes to like the relief and the support that you have for your testing team. So it could seem like a great idea to have like every single minute, teacher by teacher, when everybody's going to get a break, when everybody's going to get lunch, things like that. But when you're in testing season, you have a student that has a nosebleed, a computer froze, there's a parent that needs to talk to their child that's in the middle of a test. And so things go awry. And so instead of promising specific times, which I think can be discouraging for not hitting every minute, just really focus on the outcome. Like, you will get a break, you will get lunch. Those things will happen. So we have to be a little less rigid about the schedule, which I guess promotes like trust over timelines, I'd say.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And I think that there has to be sort of an agreement among staff of like, here's how we're going to roll, but we can always adjust because there's just things you can't plan on. And I would say that that's the thing to think through is like, you just can't be too rigid because there's just going to be things you didn't plan on happening. I mean, I remember one year where the internet didn't work for the first hour of the day. And so we had to kind of make adjustments. And that group of students was just going to be testing one day longer because we went on an hourly schedule. So, you know, we just kind of have to go with the flow a little bit and not be too rigid in that. Okay, so what's one piece of advice you would give yourself as a new testing coordinator?
I think it's that advice we hear all the time. Like, you hear on a plane, you have to put on your mask first, right? And you can't pour from an empty cup. Take care of yourself. You're setting the tone for the building. Wear the comfortable shoes. You're going to walk 15,000 steps before lunch. Like, now's not the time to wear the cutest shoes in your closet. Wear the sneakers. Maybe pack a survival kit. You know, those testing rooms can be saunas or they can be meat lockers, like bring light layers, be ready to kind of adjust to that. And I think one of the biggest things would be there is light at the end of the tunnel. So maybe schedule something to look forward to, like a massage after testing ends or just a silent dinner to yourself.
Okay. And I'm going to add the sort of another thing to this don't list. I would say, don't wear your cutest outfit or your most comfortable outfit and just anticipate that you're going to like walk a lot of steps before noon. And that's okay. But I like that, wear your most comfortable shoes. Yeah. Usually I wore tennis shoes because I knew I was going to be walking so many
steps. I wore sandals once and they literally broke. So I was having to kind of drag my foot through a room that I was trying to be very calm and quiet in to get relief so that I could run and buy new shoes. Don't make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, and I remember one year too, I had to give up my office because it needed they had a small group testing in that room. And so I had to make sure like I had everything with me. And so, you know, I had my shoes, I had my bag and like survival snacks for myself. Make sure you eat lunch.
Yes.
Don't skip your meals, because I think there were plenty of days where I would like not eat until 2 o'clock.
Just eat the testing snacks, like Sun chips and Capri Sun.
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to do kind of a speed round of things about a myth or fact about testing season. And I'm curious what you're going to say. So first of all, ready? Are you ready for this? Okay.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Testing coordinators have to be in the building before sunrise.
Okay, I think a lot of people would say myth here. Okay, technically the sun doesn't have to still be sleeping when you get to your office and unlock the door, but I do think that it's better to be there early. If you're the first one to arrive, you can deal with those incidentals. Again, you're setting the tone for the day. Stuff's going to come up. I think it's good to be there early. I don't know if we need like a 4 a.m.
Give yourself a minute to like drink your coffee, you know, while it's still warm, because you're going to forget it in a room somewhere, like if you're carrying it around. I did that half the time, right? Okay, next one. Snacks during testing are distraction. So speaking of snacks, your distraction.
Myth on this one. And I was thinking about like being on a really long flight and you're just staring at the back of the seat in front of you. And the only thing that breaks up that time sometimes is pretzels and a ginger ale. I get so excited for those moments. I think students are the same. These are often long tests. They need a little bit of fuel, a little bit of a break. I think a quiet snack and a moment to sort of reset and get momentum again.
Like, I mean, totally. I'm in between on this because I do think the snack with the really crinkly wrapper.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like a quiet room and like the kid just like slowly opens. I feel like chips are not a great snack for that because they're crunchy.
Yeah.
Something soft.
A gummy. Yeah. We can do a gummy. You reminded me of 1 year, speaking of Sunchips created a compostable bag, which doubled as the loudest bag in history. And I did not know that when I bought these stacks. So it was distracting. So I guess in this some situations, yeah, it could be a distraction.
1 year, our PTA got the kids the tiny bottles of water. And those things were so crinkly. And they got left everywhere and they drink like half. They take one sip and then they just leave it everywhere. So
yeah,
do not recommend. Okay. Next one is testing season is harder on the teachers than the students.
I think it's a tie. I think it's hard for both. If you've never been a testing proctor, imagine you're at the DMV all day and you can't have your phone. But here's the rub. You also have to make sure nobody else at the DMV has their phone. That's kind of what it's like to be a proctor. Weirdly exhausting. And you've been working up to this as a teacher all year for your students to take this test. So there's a lot of pressure. But I think for students equally, sometimes these tests are tied to their literal graduation from high school. So I think it's hard for both of them. I think we have to be sensitive to that on both sides.
And you have some kids that finish really fast and you're like, did you try your best? Did you? Yeah. And then you have some kids that are just taking forever because they just are so thorough or they're just move at a slower pace. So you're like, there's no in between, really.
No, you run the gamut there.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. You can never over prepare for testing day.
I don't think you can be over prepared for testing day. I was thinking about what I would do to prepare. And one of the things I think pro tip is those little thoughts you have, there's no Wi-Fi in this room, this calculator doesn't work. Actually formalize that, write that down and make it a collaborative document maybe where other people can note things for next season. I don't think there's any amount of over preparation that's too much.
I always did a survey for my teachers after testing and what could we have done better? What did we do great? And so I kept that from year to year. And that was so helpful. When I went to go prepare for the next year. Oh yeah. Okay. This worked. This didn't work. You know, those kind of things. And I use that every year to get better.
Yeah.
Okay. My last one, technology always works perfectly during online assessments. I can't even say it with a straight face.
You're not serious.
I can't even say it. Oh my God. We all know. Everyone's having a visceral reaction right now if you're listening to this.
No, technology has a sixth sense for high stakes. And that's when the Wi-Fi will have a hiccup. Something will need a restart. I think that's the fact here.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi works normal on every other day of the year, except for testing.
Yeah. It's again, you got to prepare. Those things will happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think too, I know now with the, it was students having individual devices. It's so much nicer. But the times when we were seen in computer labs and, or even worse, laptop carts, those never were reliable. This laptop doesn't work. You spend the first 2 hours of the day just troubleshooting on everything. So it's gotten a lot better, but yeah.
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel like paper didn't crash.
I think I heard that several times from older teachers. Never had this problem. Okay, I'm gonna come to this question because I think it's pretty funny. If you could describe testing season in education as a movie or metaphor, what would it be and why?
Okay. I think it would be 100% a heist movie. So you've got a high stakes vault of secure materials. You've been spending all this time training up this team to perfectly execute. And no matter how perfect your plan is, something will go sideways. The lasers will trip. A pipe will burst. There will be unexpected jackhammering. So you've got to just kind of roll with it, get to the other side. And then before you know it, you're high-fiving your team. You made it through.
I love that. That's actually really perfect. I'm just picturing Ocean's 11. That's what I think about.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. And hopefully this kind of resonates and is a fun episode. for anybody who's out there who's a testing coordinator, and maybe you pass this on to your testing coordinator and they'll enjoy it. But thanks for being here, Cass. This was really fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.